Thursday, 20th of March, Yud Gimel Adar Beis, Tanis Esther, Rabbi Alan Hirsch, Two Sides of the Persian Coin.
So there are various words that we come across in the Megillah, which we translate in a particular way, and we translate it almost without thinking. But the Maisa, either they are l'chaira mistranslations, or at least they have a depth to them which are not necessarily being explored. Give a number of examples. Firstly, Shushan is often appended with the title Habira, and therefore we translate the word Bira as a capital city, Shushan, and that would seem to be the mashmois when you look at where it is used in the Megillah. But the problem is that Bira doesn't mean the capital city; it means a palace. There's a famous medrash with Avraham Avinu. When he discovers the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it says, Ra'o biro doylekes. And he said, who me hitzes, who set fire to this palace? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals himself, Ani bal habiro. And the way it is used in the Chemia, in Divrei Yomim, biro is not referring to a capital city, but to a palace. In which case, it seems strange that the Megillah wrote it, and it can't really fit into that translation. Because Shushan was more than just a palace. There were people from Shushan who came to the Suda who were commoners. Clearly it wasn't just a place of royal residence. Secondly, Mordechai and Esther. So Mordechai is the name of a Persian deity, Marduk. And Esther is the name of a Persian deity, Astarte. It's quite strange that the names of the people who brought about the Hatzalah are names which are not quite the right name, especially since the Gemara tells us about them that wasn't their name. Two out of three opinions in the Gemara says, as it says in the Megillah, that Esther's real name is Hadassah, and the first Mishnah in the fifth Perek in Shkolim tells us that Mordechai's name was Psachia. So okay, for one reason or another they might have gone under Persian names when they were in the government or as members of the royal family, but to record those names sounds somewhat strange. Thirdly, of the four psukim that we read aloud, the first one introduces Mordechai. Ish Yehudi Hayav Shushan Abir Shmoy Mordechai Ben Yor Ben Shim Mekish Ishimini. Now when it says Ish Yehudi, so it doesn't mean he's from Yehuda, because he's Ishimini, he's from Binyamin. Navos, Ish Yehudi, he was Jewish. Except for one thing. Ish Yehudi only occurs on one other occasion in the entire Tanakh. In the entire Chof Dal and Sifrei Tanakh, Ish Yehudi is used only once, besides for in the Megillah. Which means it's far more than just an incidental description. It is a title. We'll come to the Pasuk in a moment. But what we therefore have to realize is that, as the Gemara says, one of the answers why we don't say Hallel on Purim is because Akata Avdei Achashverosh Anan. The Purim episode is not a happily ever after. There was a Hatzalah, and many of Amalek were destroyed, but nevertheless, they were still in Golos. And the fact that the Gemara uses Avdei Achashverosh, servant, doesn't just mean we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, but it means we were subject to the decrees of Achashverosh. And as such, when the Megillah was written, you couldn't write exactly what you wanted to write, which is, Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, who sold us down the river, because somebody gave him money. Can't write that, because never mind you don't keep your job very long, you don't keep your head for very long. So therefore it had to be written in a way where the pshat is there, but that if we want to understand the real meaning, it needs a sensitivity to Tanakh. And people who have the sensitivity can understand the layer, even at pshat level, of the meaning. Bira. Bira is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk in Divrei Yomim Aleph and Perek Chof Tes, where it says, Ki loy la'odam habira ki l'Hashem aleikim. What it therefore means is, if we want to know the cause of the Tzara, we want to know why the Gezerah happened to Klal Yisrael, It's because they had swapped the Bira of the Beis HaMikdash for Shushan. This was, as it was put in by the Meshech Chochmah, in terms of Berlin, this is the New Jerusalem. This is Shushan, we're happy here. This is the first time Klal Yisrael are going through a Golus. It's the first time they are a minority culture amongst a majority host culture. It started in Babel. Babel, however, the beginnings of the Golus Babel were very harsh. Hanani Mishra Bar Zaria, either they bow down to Avodah Zarah or they get put to death. But eventually things change, and what happens is they get used to it, and they become part of the culture, and they assimilate to the extent. It's very interesting, the last three words of Perek Gimel, which we read in an Eicha Megen by Hir Shushan Novoicha. So normally we translate it as the city of Shushan was sad. Mehechatez? Why should the city of Shushan be sad when the Jews have been singled out to be killed? It's difficult to talk about the entire city as all being Ohev Yisrael. Similarly, it's difficult to talk about the entire city as being anti-Semites. And therefore the qualification of being sad when the Gezerah becomes public, very difficult to understand. But the truth is, Nevoicha doesn't mean sad. When the Rambam wrote his Mir Nevuchim, he did not write his guide for the sad. Right? Nevuchim means confused. And Rabbi J.B. Soloveitchik points out that they could not understand. The citizens, the inhabitants of Shushan, they couldn't understand. They were confused. Why become the Jews? The Jews look like everybody else, they dress like everybody else, they talk like everybody else, they're members of the government like everybody else, they go to the Suda like everybody else. What's the difference between them and us? And the Shushan, people in Shushan couldn't understand. But one group of people got the message, Klalisha. They understood that they are being singled out because they've lost the plot. Because until then, what they've done, they've just abandoned the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that they were facing destruction because they went to the Suda of Achashverosh. So the wine was, it was Kedem, right, or whatever the Hechsher is, right, and the food was homeless. So that wasn't the problem. Nenu was the problem. This is a Suda being thrown by Achashverosh to celebrate the fact that Klal Yisrael are not going back. That 70 years, he calculated that not like Belshazzar from 3318, from when Nebuchadnezzar originally came to Yerushalayim, and not from 3338, from the actual Churban HaBayis, but from 3327, which is when Golus Yechoniah took place, as is mentioned in the Megillah. And he reckoned that 70 years are over. So he throws a party, because they're not going back. And Yidden can go to such a Suda? The food should have stuck in their throat. The fact that they were able to enjoy themselves there means that their focus no longer is Yerushalayim, so we won't go back. It's fine. The climate here is pretty similar, and I've got my second house, and I'm fine. I'm happy where I am. This is the first time they're in Golus, and that's how they're reacting to it. If Bira is the problem, Mordechai and Esther, to call, so to speak, their heroes by the names Mordechai and Esther, is symptomatic of how they saw them. They were, people in the Persian government with the Persian names. When the Gemara in Chulin asks about four people, asks about Moshe, Haman, Mordechai and Esther, Min HaTorah Minayin. Now, when the Torah says Moshe Min HaTorah Minayin, right. Obviously somebody who hasn't done any homework, right? They've skipped out class from about reception onwards. If they ask the question, Moshe min HaTorah Minayin. So clearly when they're asking Mordechai, Esther and Haman, it's in the same category. So beyond anything else, all four of them had another name. Mordechai is Psachia, Esther is Hadassah, Haman is Memuchon, and Moshe, that isn't his name. Not only does he have nine other names, but this is a name given to him by a non-Jew. when he's 3 months old. So that the question is, what is their real essence? So Bira, Mordechai, and Esther are in a way the problem. Ish Yehudi is the solution. It only says Ish Yehudi on one other occasion, and that is a pasuk in Zechariah. It's a pasuk about Yemos HaMashiach. Koyal Mar Hashem Tzvokis by Yomi Mahahemo. It will happen at the end of time. Asher Yachziku Asora Anoshim. 10 people will grab hold of Mikol Lashonos Hagoyim, all of all nations of the world. Behziku Biknaf Ish Yehudi. They'll grab hold of the corner of the garment of an Ish Yehudi. Leimer Neilcha Imochem. We want to go with you. Ki Shamanu Elokim Imochem. Because we've heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Which means, the Ish Yehudi is somebody who, even in Golus, is of such stature, is so apparent, that even the Goyim will understand that Elokim Imochem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him, and that he is the one who will bring them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, this is a person who, even in Golus, has never lost focus. He is still headed straight towards the Beis HaMikdash, straight towards Yerushalayim. And when he says V'nei Yerushalayim, he means it. When he says V'secha Zena Einenu, he means it. That is the Ish Yehudi. And it's apparent even to the Goyim. So that if the problem is that they've lost the focus, the person to bring them back is Mordechai. Because he is the Ish Yehudi. He is undiluted through what has happened in Golus. Now, the method, the way in which the Golus was brought to an end is not that there was a gezeirah, there was a decree against Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael managed to somehow get rid of the decree. It's not a bittul of the gezeirah. It's not pshat that there was a tree that was put up in order to kill Mordechai, and somehow they got rid of it. They chopped down the tree. The method in which the Gezeirah came to an end was through Hippuch, the Nahafaychu. Everything that they had made was then used against them. And the tree is the classic example. But there are many others. When Haman leads Mordechai through the city, can there be a greater hippoch than the person who is basically the melech, the person who has control over the tabat hamelech, and he is forced to become a town crier, to schlep somebody through the city and proclaim the other person's greatness? It is the greatest possible hashpala, and the greater he was, the more of a gezoyin it becomes. If he wasn't that great, no. But being who he was, that he is now the one taking Mordechai, that's mamash hippoch. The same is true with the igaris, the letters that were written. Because as Esther says, as Achashverosh says, that ksav, which was nechtav v'nechtam b'tabas hamelech, ein lahoshiv. It's not pshat that now that Haman's dead, okay, fine, Gezeirah's over, and the architect's dead, so the Gezeirah's dead. No such thing. Ein lahoshiv. You actually cannot deal with the Gezeirah. It stands in place. So what do? They are mahapech. Who is in favor and who is not? Because it's the wording is the same. The only thing that changes is Asher nosan hamelach layehudim lehikoel v'lamed al nafshem lahashmid laharigul abed. The lahashmid laharigul abed stays. The exact same loshen as in Perik Gimel. The nafkamina is who is doing the hashmoda? To whom is the government giving tacit approval? This is comparable to what was going on in Russia nowadays, right? If you lived in Russia from Easter, you never went out of your house on a day like this because there was no guarantee that you'd come back. What would happen is that come up every year, there would be state-sponsored pogroms. Chas Shalom, the police and the army wouldn't get involved. But what they would do is they would say to the rabble, they would say to the masses, okay, you've got 2-3 days, you can do whatever you like, katov beinechem, and then we'll bring things to an end. Which means that the gezeira was exactly that. The only nafkamina is that it was reversed, so that the people who the government are saying you've got 2-3 days to become the Jews, not the not a monarch. And lechera, this is also seen in a conversation between Haman and Zeresh. Originally, when Haman sees Mordechai, who doesn't bow down, and the Maral points out that it's put in the future tense. In other words, Mordechai will never bow down. So he brings them all together. Yasoed Gvaya Chamishim Amo. Then, when he has his when he has to schlep Mordechai through the city, so Vahomon Nidchaf Al Beisay Ovoil Vachafu Yerush. He comes back home. He's mamush. You know, it's the matzav is terrible, and he tells them what's happened. So what do they say to him? They say, "Im mizera hayehudim Mordechai." If Mordechai is Jewish, and hacheloisa limpa, you've started falling, then nofel tippa, it's all over. What do you mean, "Im mizera hayehudim"? What do you mean, if he is Jewish? I made that pretty obvious when I came here in the first place. So I once heard an idea from Lady Behuda. He says, what she was saying is, if he is Jewish, and you have been hachilos olimpon, you have started falling, only one person is in the driving seat. There has now been a hippoch. Until now, you were clearly in control. Now, even though it's only started, but that only means one thing, you are no longer in control. And if you aren't, he is. It's hippoch, it's one or the other. And therefore your only way out of it is nofel tippa. You have to fall at his feet and beg him to spare your life. Why? Because Klal Yisrael are rachmonim, bayshonim, goyim lechasodim. Memela, the goyim know our midas. Amalek only attacks us because we are that. All we have to do is look at which midas our enemies who attack us have, and then we know that we have the opposite. Because if we didn't have the opposite, they wouldn't bother attacking us. They're only after us because we exemplify those midas. So therefore they knew they were Rachmonim Bayshonim Gomli Chasodim. That doesn't sit well with the arrogance of Amalek. And therefore she said, we know their nature. Nofel Tippol, that's your only solution. Haman wasn't interested. But that was the idea of Hippoch. It's also because of that that Mordechai, the method in which he brings about the Hatzalah, is he brings the Tinoke Shabbos Rabbah, and they're sitting and learning Torah. Now, as we know, the Megillah takes place over a number of years. The opening Perek is the 3rd year, the second Perek is the 7th year, the 3rd Perek onwards is the 12th year. But Chazal put it together. And the people that Mordechai took, children that he took, are not just simply ketanim; they are tinoikos. A tinoik in halacha, like the hilchos yichud, like the inui on Yom Kippur, is somebody at the holidays who's under 9. Why dafka under 9? Because if the children are under 9 in the 12th year of Achashverosh's rule, then they were never alive during the time of the Suda of Achashverosh, which happened in the 3rd year. They are the people who represent absolute Tahara, because they were never tainted by the chait of the Suda. They never lived in that dough. They therefore represent this concept of being able to overturn a Gezerah, because they are a new people. And this fits in to the concept of the Meister with Rav Chaim of Volozhin, where he was met by somebody who said to him that the Chasima was not signed Bedam but Betit. It says La'avdom, Loi Bedam. right? And he told this over to the Gaon. The Gaon says, this is Eliyahu Novi who told you this, in the same way as Eliyahu Novi told Mordechai. That the chasima, the signature on the Gezerah, was not signed b'dam. You might ask a minute. A chasima is a chasima. Once a decree is signed, it's all over. I mean, a normal chasima is signed in wax. The nafkamina is not whether the Gezerah exists or doesn't exist, but to what extent the Gezerah exists. To whom does it apply? If the people are completely changed from the people that was, does the Gezerah still apply to them? In other words, if it isn't the same people, if it is an absolute Gezerah, then it makes no difference. Because this name is on the list, and therefore this person has to be killed. But if the Gezerah only applies to them because of who they were, then if they change their mahus, then it doesn't apply to them. That's the concept of Kippur. And that was why the Tinoikos show can't apply to us, because we aren't the type of people who go to the Suda of Achashverosh. And perhaps that is also the reason why we are Mekabel Geirim from Amalek. Rambam writes from Mekabel Geirim from Amalek. Because at that moment in time, there's a complete Hippur. The people to whom Timcha Zech Amalek applies is no longer this person standing in front of me. Now that he becomes Jewish, there's a complete Hippur in who he is. And this concept of Hippur, I heard from Ramesh Shapira, he says the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Malachim, the second last parak, the 11th parak of Hilchos Malachim, in Halacha Dalad, most of Halacha Dalad is censored, because the Christians took exception to talking about Melech HaMashiach in ways that didn't fit, didn't dovetail into their theology. But we have, especially from the Muslim countries, we have the Nusach as was. And the Rambam writes there, that what did the world need, Yeshu HaNoitri and Oisei HaYishma'eli, is Einom Elo Kedei LiYashe Lehem HaDerech, is to straighten out the path for them. Meaning, once these people exist, then even the goyim know of the concept of Moshiach. The only thing is they're backing the wrong horse. But the concept is there. What will then happen at the end of time? Not that there will be a new thing, but it will just be a hippoch in who it is. And therefore the Rambam there quotes the Pasuk in Tzvanya, Ki oz ehefoich el amin sofa barura likre kulam b'shem Hashem. What will take place at the end of time is not a new idea, but a hippoch within the existing idea, which even the goyim know of. So that the Rambam writes, these religions have come to bring about, even amongst the goyim, the concept of Mashiach. Now, the idea that the whole Yontif is called Purim is in and of itself quite strange, because it seems to be incidental. Al Shem HaPur, because he sort of threw dice in order to determine what day should be the war against Klal Yisrael. And if he would have dealt cards, would he have called it Klafin? I mean, what is there in the Pur that is so central to the Yontif that it gets his name? This is a question I heard from Rabbi Leff, and he explains as follows. The Kriyas HaTorah on Purim is from the end of Parshat B'Shalach. And it says there that there is a war from as a result of Amalek attacking Klal Yisrael. There is a war which HaKadosh Baruch Hu fights. Ki yodei al keis kof. Ki yodei al keis kof. The hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on his throne as a shvur that it's melchama v'amalek midor dor. There will be an eternal war, an eternal enmity, not just between Klal Yisrael and Amalek, but between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Amalek, because they represent the antithesis of Klal Yisrael, the antithesis of everything that Klal Yisrael want to bring into the world. Now, the word Kise and the Shem Hashem are written Chosa. It's case, there's an Aleph missing, And in the name of Hashem, there's the Yud and the Hey, there's no, the Vav and the Hey are missing. So there are three letters missing. The Hey, the Vav, and the Aleph. Hu Hagoral Lifnei Haman. Hu. These three letters. Hey, Vav, and Aleph. They were what the fight was over. Because as long as Amalek exists, Hashem's name is not complete, and Hashem's throne is not complete. In other words, you can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly in the world as long as Amalek is around. The Maharal says that Amalek is gematria sophic. The existence of Amalek brings about doubt, and hence in Parashas B'Shalach, just before Amalek attacks, Klal Yisrael say Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyim. What, they had doubts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed 2 weeks after whatever it was after it's here, that's right. The doubt was in the minutia, in the everyday life that I live. Does it really make a difference whether I do X or Y? That's the doubt of Amalek. And if we give rise to that doubt, then we're giving rise to Amalek, Chas v'Shalom. It's that element of Sophic, the element that says that there isn't an absolute plan, that there isn't an absolute purpose, that there isn't an absolute future. And therefore Amalek will say, the philosophy of Amalek dictates that you may as well throw dice to find out when things are going to happen, because everything is chance. Asher korcha baderach. Nothing is planned. Nothing is there because it has to be. There is no boire. The main abriah is just an accident. It's random. And therefore, who, taking out the completion of the kisei and of the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the goyrol lifnei Haman. That's what Haman is dealing with. He's dealing with the fact that as long as he exists, there will not be a clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. He will remove those three letters. And how will he decide how to do it? Through an Amalek method. Throwing dice. By doing it by chance. What happens? V'nahafeich hu. If you overturn hu, if you read it the other way around, you have Aleph Vav Hei, which we said in Yehi Chavoy this morning, Ivo L'moishavloi. Ivo is one of the names of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash served to do the exact opposite of Amalek. It strengthened our emunah. Rather than it being a day where Amalek brings about Sophic, it is a day where we are machazik our emunah, and it becomes the equivalent of having a Beis HaMikdash. The Nafechu. And the Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael writes about Purim. He says, "Asher higiu lecherev v'chazar lahem hachius." They came to the moment of death, and they were brought back to life. There was a hippoch. There was an overturning that took place in Klal Yisrael, and hence it was a day of Kabbalah Sapera. A Kabbalah Sapera, also our neshamas left us. And a new existence came about. What happens after Kabbalah Sotera is a completely new state of existence to what happened beforehand. I once heard an idea from Rabbi Hartman. He said, the Maharal says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Beirei Olamos Umachrivon, the Olamos that existed before this Olam. So the Maharal says, Lav Dafka, actual Binyan and Churban. But he gave the example of having a new model of a mobile phone or a computer. It's not true that the old model is not as good. It's obsolete. You can't get it anymore. When there is a new binyan, so kalape what was, the old is considered the churban poshut. And therefore so too the tchias hamesim of Klal Yisrael on Purim, is that in comparison to what was, what we have today is not considered a comparison, a continuation. It's a complete overturning of what was. It's a complete hippoch of what existed. And that is the yesoid of Purim. Going from Shushan HaBira, going from a nation that looks as Shushan as their Beis HaMikdash, Chas v'Shalom, to going towards the Ish Yehudi, to having a person who tells them exactly where it is, to having a focus on the Beis HaMikdash, even though we're in Golos. And these two sides, these two possibilities, are what was the fight was over. The fight ruchni between Amalek and Klal Yisrael, whether it's Hu or whether it's Iva. Which way do we read those three letters? Because it's for Purim, we can mention somebody who wouldn't perhaps normally get mentioned tear away. In the middle of the Yom Kippur War, so Golda Meir, who we can't say that we can remember her name, the Shvach, in fact, when Menachem Begin and Golda Meir both met up with the Meitzes in America, New York, and Menachem Begin spoke in Yiddish, and Golda Meir had come to new Yiddish, and this is a lot speaking in Yiddish, right? I think it was Rav Moshe who commented on this, Rav Moshe's Functions Yotzai today. Either way, during the Yom Kippur War, so Golda Meir tells Kissinger, who was Jewish and who was a self-hating Jew. So she said to him, you know, you're a Jew, help us out. So he said, listen, he says, I don't know. Either way, but he said to her, firstly, I'm an American citizen, which he said in his German accent. Secondly, he says, I'm a member of the American government. And only thirdly, am I a Jew? So she said, that's fine. Here in Israel, we read from right to left. Right? That idea, but lahavdil, is what we have to do on Purim. We have to bring about a hippuch. We have to bring about a reversal. Instead of reading from right to left, we have to start reading from left to right. We have to start reading from right to left. We have to not lose focus of the fact that the bira that is important to us is the bira of the Beit HaMikdash, and as such will be zeicher to the Geula Shlema.